The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, everybody, welcome. It is Friday, February 5th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, information, music, comedy, and more, brought to you by, for, and about the cannabis community. We are the mainstream media of the cannabis community, and we're so glad to have you here. You can also check out our blog, the Normal Stash blog, at stash.normal.org, where you'll also find archives of the replays of Normal Show Live. You can subscribe there through iTunes. You can listen to the Normal Daily Audio Stash players. You can work away the day while listening to great toker tunes and hearing the latest news and information for the marijuana community. And joining me in our virtual studio 90 miles away in beautiful Astoria, Oregon, home of Kindergarten Cop, my good friend and half-half sister, Cannabis Carrie.
It's not a tumor.
It's not a drug, it's a leaf. Oh, yes. Arnold was up there in Astoria for filming Kindergarten Cop, and Carrie knows all of the scene locations. She's like a veritable Astoria encyclopedia.
That's right. I do love the town I live in. Like, well, most Americans, I really love where I live.
That's right. And that's the thing about wanting to change these marijuana laws. I get a lot of people that are like, oh, I want to move to Oregon. Oh, I want to move to California. Hey, fight for your own state, man. Stay in your own state. There's great things about your state worth staying for, and we'll help you fight to change those laws. Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after the first break of the hour. So, Carrie, what are we looking forward to for today?
Well, we're going to go back to Kansas and see what's going on there. You know, they're trying to outlaw some fake marijuana. Well, the Lawrence, Kansas cops just can't wait for that. Then we're going to go to New York and look at the polls coming out of New York and to see if they have the support they need to pass medical marijuana laws, finally. And then we're going to do our Friday updates, where I'm going to look at a couple of stories that we did this week. One, we're going to get an update on the crazy cookie flyer.
Oh, yeah.
And that tragic story in Juarez.
All right. More updates coming up on our Normal hemp headlines right after our first break. We pay a few of the bills, and we urge you all to visit our sponsors and support them, because the money they spend on advertising goes to the Normal Foundation, and that helps us to spread the word, the growing truth about cannabis. Also on today's show, it is Rockin' Friday. We get you ready for the weekend with some great 420 toker tunes. Johnny Reefer Seed is going to be bringing us a tune today, filling in for the Rockin' Fridays. Also at the bottom of the hour, at the 30-minute mark, we'll be speaking with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com for our first and third Fridays of the month Celeb Stoner Entertainment Report. And at the 45-minute mark, I've got a special interview we're going to do with a gentleman I just spoke to an hour ago for the first time. He's out there in San Diego, and he's got some disturbing news about the practices of the San Diego police and the Border Patrol in that area that all folks in the Southern California area need to know about. I thought it was so interesting, I just gave him a call, said, hey, you want to tell my listeners? And he said, sure. So we'll have him on at 45 after. If you'd like to get your news to the Normal Daily Audio
Stash, you're listening to Normal Show Live. the voice of the marijuana nation.
We got to fix that cue. If you want to get your news into the station, just send me an email.
Hello,
stash@normal.org.
The Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
High as a kite, everybody!
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to Normal at NORML.org and support Normal Show Live.
I'm going to light.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
The Kansas House endorsed legislation this last Tuesday to outlaw synthetic marijuana sold as incense under the brand name K2 and currently perfectly legal. This is the new drug of choice, says Kansas Representative Rob Olson, the bill's sponsor. The state Senate passed similar legislation last month that we reported on, and after a final House vote today, lawmakers will reconcile the two versions of the legislation before sending it to Governor Mark Parkinson for a signature. Kansas would be the first state in the nation to outlaw the product. Now, an interesting twist on this story. Yesterday in Lawrence, Kansas, local law enforcement and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration agents raided the store Sacred Journey. According to the newspaper, the Kansas City Pitch, the agents seem to be targeting the store's supply of K2. The attorney for Sacred Journey told the Kansas City Pitch yesterday, "From what I was told, the warrant says they are suspected of selling illegal drugs." The agent seized various things, including an inventory list, and they also went into the store's safe. The officers told employees that they are considering charging the store's owner criminally. She was out of state when the raid was conducted. Supposedly, some of the botanicals she sells contain chemicals that could be precursors to substances on the federal schedule of controlled substances. Meanwhile, a Kansas City television station reports that the man who supplies Sacred Journey with K2 was also detained yesterday and questioned by law officials about the chemicals contained in the fake marijuana. A call to the FDA led to a statement that the FDA does not comment on ongoing investigations. I had to try.
Yeah, you gotta try. Yeah, this notion that this K2, the fake pot, a couple of the chemicals that they're targeting here are called JWH-018 and JWH-020 that are supposedly synthetic analogs to various cannabinoid compounds. But once again, it just illustrates the futility of trying to conduct a war on drugs. And that futility is, no matter what it is that you ban, there's always going to be a new and better drug. There's always going to be new, better living through chemistry. There's always going to be new science geeks coming up and finding ways to get around the drug laws by coming up with stuff that's not technically illegal, but still gets you high. And folks, we've only begun to see the extent of how far this will go. We are just beginning to unlock some of the secrets of genetic engineering and biology that will make the synthetic drugs of today look small in comparison to what we're going to have in the future. And it comes down to, again, the notion of what is our right. You know, what is our right? It's not just a matter of do we have the right to plant seeds and sow crops, but do we have the right to modify our own consciousness? I often ask a hypothetical question to drug warriors, and I ask them, if they came up with a drug that was perfectly safe, I mean perfectly safe. No long-term damage whatsoever. No short-term damage whatsoever. It got you high. It made you feel good, but it didn't change your perceptions. It didn't change your reaction times. And if this sort of drug existed and was not addictive whatsoever, should it be illegal? Right? Because not harmful, right? Not physically harmful, not addictive, not harmful to society because of your impairment or bad judgment. But all it does, this mystery unobtainium drug that I come up with, all it does is get you high. Should that be illegal? And when you have that discussion with people, you really break down their resistance to drugs and you find out what their resistance actually is to the notion of someone feeling pleasure. Someone else feeling pleasure or cheating nature in some sort of way. It's something I think about a lot and something that I encourage you all to think about and talk about with other people. I've often had a theory that the reason why there's so much opposition to marijuana, has a lot to do with our Judeo-Christian upbringing and the way that this nation is founded kind of on a Puritan work ethic. And alcohol is okay because when you drink alcohol, there's a payment to it, right? There's a physical toll. You get a headache, you get sick, you get woozy, you have a massive hangover. So yes, you get your pleasure, but you get your pleasure with a ration of pain, right? You have to pay for it later. I think the reason they hate marijuana so much is because there's not that associated ration of pain to go with the pleasure that you get from it. Most people smoke marijuana. They have no problems in their life when they smoke marijuana, and they don't have hangovers or the after effects that you'd get from alcohol or hard drugs. Think about that. I think that could be part of the reason why we have such a social stigma against marijuana users.
And the New York Times published a new poll yesterday showing that medical marijuana support among voters in New York State is so solid that even a substantial majority of Republicans favor its legalization. The Quinnipiac University poll found that 71% of voters supported medical marijuana, including 55% of registered Republicans. The poll numbers seem to confirm others cited by sponsors of the current medical marijuana bill in the Assembly. The current attempt at legalizing medical marijuana for patients in New York State has passed out of its first committee, and supporters hope to see it pass in New York this year. But they remain cautiously optimistic. New York has tried to pass medical marijuana legislation at least 7 times since 1998. The current bill, working its way through the legislative process, would not allow patients to cultivate their own medicine, but rather have them obtain medical marijuana through a state-licensed, not-for-profit facility that would manufacture and distribute the cannabis.
This is the theme that is spreading through the East Coast with regard to their attempts at passing medical marijuana. It passed with New Jersey just a couple weeks ago, what I call the no garden state, because they take away the right of the patients to grow their own medicine. And this is what we're seeing in New York as well. And while, of course, everybody is excited and happy to have a state pass medical marijuana, nobody wants to see cancer and AIDS patients and MS patients and people in pain having to suffer. The notion that we want to set up some sort of monopolization of the supply of marijuana for these patients is offensive, and it's harmful to the very people that you're trying to help. Number one, the best thing about medical marijuana is that it's a houseplant. It's a houseplant you can grow relatively cheaply and treat yourself. It's safe enough that you don't need to have a doctor looking over your shoulder every time you take a dose. You cannot possibly overdose from it. The beauty of medical marijuana is that it's so close and easy and free for the people to use. So to take that source, that free source of relief, and to restrict it only to businesses and only to a profit-making venture, yes, I know they call them nonprofit and whatever, but you know somebody's making some money off of this, I just think that's terrible. It's terrible for us to restrict medical marijuana in this way. So I encourage everyone in New York and Pennsylvania and these other states in the East that are fighting for it, yes, do fight for medical marijuana and support the bills, you know, support what you can get, but fight like hell in the committees to set up some sort of reasonable regulations for home grow. If we do not have the right to home grow, we lose all leverage against corporations or governments that might seek to sell us inferior product or to sell us product that won't meet our needs. Our only leverage is to maintain the right to home grow. We've got to do it.
And in our Friday's update segment and headlines, in global news, a new campaign in Scotland with major funding is the Weed Them Out program. The Scottish Crime and Drug Enforcement agencies are teaming up with police in Scotland to ask landlords and retailers to help them spot what we would call grow houses in the States and they call cannabis factories. I sort of like that better. The police have staged a special summit for property owners to highlight the telltale signs that a cannabis farm could be operating in a building or house. Weed Them Out will be seen on billboards and on TV spots in the country for the next year. The California man accused of interfering with a flight crew during a cross-country trip that had to be diverted to Pittsburgh has waived his preliminary hearing. Kim and Chan was headed to Philadelphia from to San Francisco on a U.S. Airways flight on Sunday when he started acting strangely, eventually coming out of the bathroom with his pants down. Officials say Chan told the FBI that he had eaten a double dose of marijuana cookies. He was reportedly brought under control by a flight attendant who had a fourth-degree black belt in Taekwondo.
Ah.
He now remains in the Allegheny County Jail on a disorderly conduct charge.
Oh, a karate kid. We got to take care
right.
of that. That's a beautiful
and
thing.
In my ongoing report of the nation's border with Mexico, agents that patrol the border parts of the Rio Grande Valley near Corpus Christi seized over 12,000 pounds of marijuana in 35 different incidences over just a 48-hour time frame on Monday and Tuesday of this week. Both the marijuana and the suspects arrested were handed over to the DEA. Just a reminder, this happened in only 48 hours in one small stretch of the border.
And how much was seized?
Just over 12,000 pounds, Russ.
12,000 pounds of marijuana. And so you know they're not seizing at all in that 48-hour
right.
span. So how much got across the border in the 48-hour span? It's got to be 10 times, 100 times that much. Who knows? But again, just shows the futility of this stupid war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs. And as far as the other stories go, I want to go back for a second on the New York poll on medical marijuana. 71%
sure.
support overall, 55% support among Republicans. When we're polling medical marijuana nationally, it's at like 81%. The only thing less popular than keeping medical marijuana out of the hands of patients is supporting the bowl championship series for college football. only the BCS has lower approval ratings than the idea of keeping medical marijuana illegal. With regard to the Scotland story, the landlords being told to sniff out the growers, you know, we had something similar to this in my home county back in Idaho, Canyon County, Idaho, very conservative bedroom community just west of Boise. And the sheriff there, George Nurse, thought it would be a good idea to require landlords to drug test their tenants. Yeah, drug test their tenancy. You can just see all of the rentals at the trailer parks just gone, right? But, you know, all kidding aside, what a terrible thing to do, you know, to require. Of course, it didn't happen. George Nurse was also the sheriff who decided it would be a good idea to run drug sniffing dogs through the Karcher Mall parking lot to try to find cars that might have marijuana in them and then wait for them as they drove out of the parking lot to pull them over for some pretext and bust them there. So that's the kind of insanity we're living in here under the war on drugs. And the California cookie man, you know, good work on the flight attendant with the Taekwondo knowledge for taking him down.
You have offended my family, and you have offended a Shaolin temple.
All right. So we got to take some time here to give you some of the calendar now.
But I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
That's right. Check out the Normal Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. On the calendar, we've got a Normal meeting taking place in Cincinnati, Ohio for Miami Valley Normal. That's in mvnormal.org. Check them out for Saturday. Also on Saturday, Kansas City Normal's having a public meeting. Check out kcnormal.org. Coming up next week on Monday, the Southwest Michigan Compassion Club is meeting at the American Legion Hall in Buchanan, Michigan. So check that out. Go to minormal.org for more information. And on Tuesday, Joplin Normal will be having a meeting. check out joplin-normal.org for more details. On Wednesday, we do have no events so far posted to the calendar, but coming up next Thursday, University of New Hampshire Normal will be meeting at the MUB Student Union Room 334. Check out UNH Normal for that detail. And Ohio Normal will be having their open internet meeting via PalTalk. Check out ohionormal.org for all the information. We got to take a short break, a short pause for the good cause. And for my friends out there on the East Coast, don't enjoy yourself too much. We still got 40 hours of show to go. Coming up next, your Rockin' Friday Toker Tunes.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday, our segment featuring the best rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, brought to you by The Bastard, blogging at jerseyandohio.wordpress.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, I mentioned on yesterday's show how we're looking for a new music editor or editors for our Rockin' Friday tunes. If you're interested, put together a rock song. It's got to be a PodSafe rock song. If you want to know what PodSafe means, just go to Google and look up PodSafe music. It basically means we can't play commercial music that's registered with ASCAP or BMI because there's licensing issues. You got to find independent, unsigned artists. And send them to me at stash@normal.org. Also give me about a 150-word write-up and a photo of the band. If you want some examples, just take a look up at stash.normal.org. In the main menu under Media, look for Tunes. You'll see how our write-ups work. And if you want, you can be a volunteer. We'll just need a song and a write-up every week. One of the folks who's one of our great volunteers helping to bring you this music that you listen to on Normal Show Live is Johnny Reeferseed out there in Iowa. He normally brings us our Irie Wednesday reggae music, but for today, he's joining us with Rockin' Friday. Johnny, how's everything in Iowa?
Man, great, Russ. We just had a group of lawmakers that introduced the Medical Marijuana Act here. You know, it's got a good committees and votes and all that, but it's looking really good. And coming up here in a couple of weeks, our obviously board is going to tell us whether or not they're dropping cannabis from Schedule 1 to Schedule 2.
Oh, that's right. So, I always got that situation here where the Board of Pharmacy is required to reschedule marijuana out of Schedule 1. And, yeah, we'll be interested to see where that lands. Tell us about the tune we're going to be hearing today.
It's Captain Smokes. He's kind of a mysterian. Although there's no biographical information about him available, Captain Smokes says, quote, "Traveling the world was fun, studied with Zanga, puffed grape plants in many foreign countries, still don't have any tattoos and plan on keeping it that way," unquote. Nothing more to prove, nothing more to say, just peace and all good things. Captain Smokes and the Shotguns are Captain Smokes on vocals, Bud Hempfield guitar, Herb Roller on keyboard,
of course,
Omar Hashish on the bass, and Screens on the drums. You can check out the Captain's website at www.captainsmokes.com, and you can download the Captain's hit here, Smoking Gets You Higher, on iTunes for pleasure in your ears after you've pleasured your lungs.
I wonder what the chances are that you'd get these guys together who all happen to have marijuana names, and they'd all join one band. What are the odds?
Yeah, what a coincidence, huh?
Oh, thank you, Johnny Reaper Seed, for this tune. We're going to be listening here. This is Captain Smokes and the Shotguns with Smoking Gets You Higher.
Getting high when you think you want to fly. I got something I know you're going to like. Yeah! Taste real good. Liquor goes down awfully smooth. But you're only halfway to the moon. Fuck you up, but you know they cost too much, and they lead to a crazy thing called addiction. There's just one thing that you need, it's good old fashioned weed. Come along and sing it with me.
Smoking gets you higher.
All right, loving the extended jam. Thank you, Johnny Weepersee. This is Captain Smokes and the Shotguns with Smoking Gets You Higher. Tribute to the Herb. We love it. Coming up next, the bottom of the hour, we're speaking with Steve Bloom from New York City and the Celeb Stoner Entertainment Report. Stick around. This is Normal Show Live. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Keith Straub, the founder of Normal. In all the years since 1970 that I've been fighting marijuana prohibition, I've learned that drug warriors love to confuse the public with statistics. Lately, they've claimed that there are more teens enrolled in drug treatment for marijuana than ever before. It's a statement that, while true, is intentionally misleading. What they don't tell you is that marijuana arrests have skyrocketed to over 800,000 arrests per year. They also don't tell you that we've gone from a few dozen drug courts in the 1990s to over 2,500 drug courts today. The kicker is that those drug courts sentence teens routinely to drug treatment for marijuana whether they need drug treatment or not. So they arrest more people for pot, require them to enter drug treatment, then claim the higher treatment numbers justify more pot arrests. It's an absurd proposition, but no more absurd than banning a plant. Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527. Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news.
Well, we would be remiss this weekend coming into Super Bowl Sunday if we didn't visit with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com calling us from New York City. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Russ, how are you?
I'm doing great. How was the Philly Normal event last week?
It was great. They really did a nice job. They raised a couple of $1,000.
All right.
The bands were very good. It was all sort of jazzy, jam, fishy kind of bands.
We love
and,
that.
It was really good. You know, a really nice crowd. It was very cold out, and nevertheless, you know, they picked the right spot because the location of the event was right in the college zone in Philly between Penn and Drexel. So it was a really young college crowd, and they came out and supported it. It was very nice. And about 300 people made some money at the merch table. It was a small event, but a really nice event, and, you know, a really good job by Chris Goldstein and all the Philly Normal folks.
Oh, yeah, Philly Normal. Check them out, phillynormal.org. They're doing some amazing things out there in that area. And speaking of this weekend and sports, of course, it's the Super Bowl this weekend, the Saints and the Colts. And over the past couple of Super Bowls, there's been a bit of a celeb stoner connection. Let our listeners know a little bit about the NFL all-drug bust team and how that affected the Super Bowl in the past couple of years.
Well, that team, which you know, goes on and on and on, from more than 10, 12, 15 guys over the last couple of years have been arrested for marijuana or other drugs. The most famous one last year was Santonio Holmes, who who's one of the big receivers for the Pittsburgh Steelers and won the game with his final catch that won the Super Bowl last year. The subtext of all that was that he had been arrested earlier. The Super Bowl's in February. He was arrested in October of the previous year of 2008, and he was arrested on a charge where his car was stopped. They smelled marijuana. They arrested him. Kind of typical stop in Pittsburgh. As it turns out, now, you know, he went on to, you know, become the Super Bowl MVP, and there was a lot of attention obviously paid to that. And then, you know, months later, the whole case was dropped.
Right.
So there you have it. You know, it was sort of like a mistaken sort of identity arrest. They were following the wrong car, and they really didn't have a right to search him, so the whole thing was thrown out. This year, there really isn't that subtext because none of the players on either of the two teams have been arrested for marijuana that I'm aware of in any kind of recent time. So we don't really have the stoner angles to the Super Bowl this year, although we could probably, find one if we really dig hard enough. Maybe the Saints, because they're from the birthplace of marijuana in the U.S., so maybe you should be rooting for them, That's when marijuana first really started coming into the country, and, it infiltrated through the Chaz community, and then here we are all these years later smoking marijuana and, hopefully getting it legalized, from state to state. But so there really isn't an angle this year.
Yeah. The birthplace of jazz. That's a good way to look at it, though. And, of course, the year before in the Super Bowl, Plaxico Burress was the big star.
That's true. I mean, obviously he had his own problems, but it wasn't drug-related. He had his problem with a gun, where he took a gun into a nightclub and he accidentally, it kind of flipped and he shot himself. It's almost funny, but it's sad because he's in jail. New York, they really don't take gun violations lightly. And so he's, the question is whether he's going to really come back to the NFL. By the time he gets out of jail, he'll be 34, and, will he have a job? Most probably. If Michael Vick got a job, Paxil Burress will get a job.
Yeah, you would think so. Let's look around the other areas of entertainment and how they converge with the cannabis community here. What's happening lately in the music scene that we need to know about?
Not a whole lot, honestly, in that area. I mean, I would say, except for the fact that the Grammys just happened.
Right.
You might want to look at, some of the winners of the Grammys and, how they... reflect on, our community. Say Dave Matthews didn't win. So that was slightly disappointing. Actually the story that kind of came out of the Grammys this year that I thought was kind of fun story was the Michael Bublé story. Michael Bublé is a jazz singer,
right.
Who won for best pop vocal. And turns out, Bublé is a pot smoker. He grew up in Vancouver. He's already, discussed his marijuana use in the past, but over the weekend, I guess maybe around the Grammys, an ex-girlfriend, came out with statements that he smokes, all the time and blah, 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 which is, of course, a good thing. So we noted that he's a Wake and Baker. She said he likes to get up in the morning and smoke. Like, all this stuff was a bad thing. She's trying to, paint him negatively, or at least comes out, in the tabloid-type report that it's, a negative thing. Not so negative. Obviously, it's just another example of a guy who's sort of, not a heavy, rocker, hip-hopper, soft, light, middle-of-the-roadish kind of music, a little bit like Jason Mraz or Rob Thomas. And all those guys are marijuana smokers, so it's interesting. You don't have to be in metal. You don't have to be in a jam band. You don't have to be in a reggae band. You don't have to be in a rock band. You could just be sort of a very easy listening singer, and you still enjoy your marijuana. So I thought it was interesting. Here's a guy who you might not expect because he looks so kind of like clean cut.
Yeah.
Which we really shouldn't draw any kind of anything out of that anyway. You shouldn't be judging people by their hair or their beards or whatever. But, he sort of doesn't really look the part, so to speak. If you think, the average pot smoker might have some long hair and maybe a beard, or that's for the male end of it, wear a headband or do some of the stereotypical traits. So I thought that was a good little angle.
Yeah, and we're speaking with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. I'm checking out the website right now. There's all sorts of great videos. You can get all the information on news and reviews, blogs, sports, stoner movies, the top celeb stoners. It's all out there at CelebStoner.com. And one thing I wanted you to address, because I'm looking at the advertisement for the Cottonmouth Kings, Dawning of a New Era, 4/20/2010, and there's some great news about one of our favorite artists here on the Stash joining the Kings.
Oh yeah, you must be a fan of Dirk Ball.
Oh yes,
he's an Oricon guy. Where does he live?
He's in Bend, Oregon, as a matter of fact, about Central Oregon in Bend. Very, very well known for its ski areas up there, Mount Bachelor, and so on. So yeah, the Dirt Ball, we play him all the time.
He's got a really super fast flow, it's interesting that they're bringing him aboard. They announced this week that for their 11th album, which will come out on 420, and by the way, this year, 420 is a Tuesday, and Tuesday is the day that albums are released by the music industry. So there's going to be an interesting, rush of albums to come out on 420. Anything on 420, you know, just because an album comes out 420 doesn't mean it's a stoner album, but I think they're going to gear up towards releasing, like Willie Nelson's got a new album coming out. Mm-hmm. When's it going to come out? 420. So just like movies get released on Wednesdays and Fridays, traditionally albums get released on Tuesdays. For, I don't know why, but they are. So the 420 release of the Cottonmouth Kings, Long Live the Kings, will include Dirtball as a member of the group, which is interesting because, you know, they already have three rappers, Daddy X, D-Loc, and Johnny Richter, so they could be adding a fourth. They always have a crowd on stage anyway, so, you know, with Pacalika walking around doing his robotic dances and showing up signs, and Taxman, the guy who goes on stage with the bullhorn, you know, it's quite a cavalcade of craziness on the stage, you know, for the Cottonmouth Kings, and you have Bobby B, the DJ, and Lou Dog, the drummer. So just adding one more I don't think is going to be that big of a deal, but it'll crowd the stage just a little bit. It'll be very interesting how they all kind of get along on stage, because it's just so much time in a given song. Yeah. I guess they'll break it down for him to do his stuff, you know, but work it in, you know, now he's going to be singing, you know, on the Cottonmouth King songs, not just his, but I bet they'll work in his, some of his material as well.
Yeah, I hope it works out great for him. I've been plugging him for a long time and hoping he would just blow up big, so I'm really looking forward to that. Another thing that you and I talk about a lot in regards to the marijuana movement is how there's kind of a dearth of, you know, first name female stoners that you would iconically think of as a stoner, like we think of Willie or, you know, Snoop. We have first name guys, you know, that you would think of, Woody, for example. But you've got a story up here about Sarah Silverman, and she's kind of turning out to be, you know, really strongly in our favor and becoming identified with the marijuana culture. Tell folks about that.
That's right. I'd say when I say Sarah, I'll think Sarah Silverman. You know, that's for sure. You know, she, you know, is not, again, way out front on this issue in terms of doing some of the stuff that everybody who you've just mentioned, you know, do on a regular basis. But she likes to sort of weave her stoniness into her show. So last night was the first night of the season three for Sarah Silverman program on Comedy Central. So I hope people out there were watching. You know, it's a really offbeat, kind of wacky show with her sister and two gay friends played by Brian Posehn and Steve Agee, who's like, who are really fun. They're just big guys, you know, and a cop who's her sister's boyfriend. So it's kind of the five characters of the story. Last night there wasn't anything about marijuana or anything drug-related, though if you watch the trailer, there's a couple of references, and the one I loved the most was where she made her comment in the trailer, it's 420 somewhere, right?
Right.
Which is kind of like your statement. So she's echoing what you like to say, and, you know, she just tosses it in there. So that's, I think, the cleverness of it, is that on TV you have to be very careful about when you drop your little, you know, one-liners about drugs, marijuana, you know, how you can kind of get away with it, get it through whatever, you know, the censors are going to allow you to say it. So I think she, in her own way, so I gather, or I haven't seen any of the shows up ahead, I gather, you know, obviously that's from one of the shows coming up. So she usually kind of like every season does one show that has a pot theme. So I don't know what that is and when it's coming, but I presume it'll be coming at us. So I do like her a lot. I just think she's super talented. She's really sort of like a lot of the guys, comedians out there, she sort of has sort of a toughness like the guys, but then she has this sweetness, almost a childlike nature that you see in her character on the TV show, where, you know, she just does a lot of dumb things, but she does it because she's just sort of, you know, she's childlike. You know, she's not really that aware of everything around her. She's just very focused on herself. And, you know, it's a cute and a clever conceit. And, you know, last night's show is kind of like off the wall. She was led to believe that she might be a hermaphrodite. So she plays a dude character. I don't know if you saw it last night.
No.
And the dude character with her and a mustache was just hysterical. And then to even prove more that she's a dude, she moves out of her house and she goes to live out camping somewhere, so there's a tent and a fire, and she's chopping wood and doing all this guy stuff. It was very funny. I wouldn't say it's the greatest episode ever, but there's always something in a Sarah Silverman episode that is really a standout, and the guy stuff, her playing the dude, was tremendous.
Well,
last night.
We love
so, yeah,
Sarah Silverman.
I think, you know, all of us out there, all the stoners out there, should support her. You know, maybe, you know, she has a kind of a comedy that everybody doesn't love because she's a little, she's a little tasteless at some times, you know.
She can be shocking.
And it makes fun of certain people, but, you know, she does it with a really sweetness, so she kind of gets away with it. I think she's the best, and especially, you know, with so many men out there, in the comedy world in general, you know, she really stands up. It's her and Margaret Cho and a few other female comics that really stand out, and then it's all the guys.
Yeah, and Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. Check out more of the information out there at CelebStoner. Also, he's the author of Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life. Need to get yourself a copy of that. It's a very, very well-written book for our community. And Steve, you got another book coming out pretty soon. Tell folks about that.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm working on this movie called Reefer Movie Madness, the ultimate stoner film guide. It's my follow-up with Shirley Halperin, my co-author in Pot Culture. We've been working on this for the last year and a half. We've just been watching movies like crazy, and I know everybody thinks it's an easy job, but it's actually not so easy. It's, you know, a lot of hours and a lot of kind of analysis in your mind to review, you know, so many, or let's say over 420 movies will be in this book.
Wow.
You know, plus, we're going to follow the same formula of what we did for Pot Culture with lots of lists and sidebars and celebrity interviews. As a matter of fact, Doug Benson is writing our foreword.
Okay.
So we're very close to having it done. We've submitted pretty much everything except for a few little pieces left. And we'll see, you know, when it's going to come out. We're not really sure. I know they were shooting for an April release, but I think we're a little behind schedule. So I think it'll be a little bit later in the year. They haven't really given us the lowdown on that. We're very excited about that. I mean, it's a subject that people just love to talk about. You could kind of endlessly talk about people's favorite stoner movies, and stoner movies have become their own genre. And the stoner movie is not just a comedy. You know, it's a movie about drugs. It may be Scarface.
In my
mind, Scarface is a stoner movie. It's not, every stoner movie is not Ha Ha, Cheech and Chong, or Harold and Kumar, or Pineapple Express. You know, it's got, you
You're
know,
listening to Normal
it's
Show
got,
Live.
And also the focus is not just marijuana, but the other drugs.
Yeah, well, thank you, Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. We've got to get going here. We'll be right back. No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind. Liberate your mind.
Welcome back. It's 48 after the hour here at Normal Show Live, and it's Free Speech Friday, so I'm taking your questions on our chat line right now. You can log on at live.normal.org. Click on the big magnifying glass. That'll take you to the multicam chat room where we're all hanging out and discussing the show. Just waiting for folks there in the chat room to send up some questions. We've also got a special guest who will be joining us in just a moment here from San Diego, California. I received an email from him. His name is Jim, and he sent us an email to National Normal to talk about what's happening in San Diego with regards to some of the practices by the Border Patrol. Carrie's getting him on the phone line right at the moment. As soon as she lets me know he's ready, we'll switch over to him. In the meantime, I'll switch over here to the chat room, and we'll see what people have to say over here in chat. Oh, wait a minute. We're ready to go to our guests. So bringing on to our lines right now, calling from San Diego, California, is Jim. Jim, welcome to the show. Oh, wait a minute, Jim. Let me unmute you.
Experience.
Hi there, Jim. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Okay, so really brave of you to just kind of come on. I just called you. We don't even know each other. I just called Jim about an hour ago after his email, and he had this story to tell about what's going on in San Diego, and I always feel that this show is by, for, and about the cannabis community. So when one of you have some news to break, I'm willing to give you the mic. So, Jim, tell folks about your experience with what's been happening on the border near San Diego.
Okay, well, what what's been happening is that this is a Republican stronghold, and they do not like medical marijuana or the thought of, let alone legalizing marijuana. Diane Jacob is the supervisor out here, and she has fought normal or fought to make it tough out here, not bring the pot cards out here.
Right.
She lost four lawsuits. And now the Border Patrol, the other day when I was going across to San Diego, they've got me landlocked in here. They've got everybody. You cannot leave East San Diego County, back county. You cannot go anywhere in the state without going through a Border Patrol checkpoint.
And this is the federal Border Patrol we're talking about. And part of the reason they're able to do this is because of some of the Homeland Security regulations that were passed in the wake of 9/11, some of that unpatriotic act and all of that, gave the Border Patrol these powers to patrol not just the border. You think Border Patrol, right? You think the border. You think right at the border. But no, they can patrol as far as 100 miles away from the border. So we get these calls from people in South Texas, South Arizona, and South California. They talk about Border Patrol checkpoints. Tell folks about these checkpoints. What's it like at these checkpoints?
Well, as a two-striker, I'm almost 60, and, you know, I haven't been in trouble with the law for 33 years. It was all just, you know, marijuana stuff.
And but two strikes, let me explain for the listeners, too. We're talking about California. They've got that three strikes law.
Yeah. And so here I am on a mental and physical disability since 1973. I get dronabinol from the DEA.
The Marinol pill, right?
Yes. And I also have a pot card. I grow my own pot. The sheriffs know it. The Border Patrol knows it. Everybody knows it. They leave me alone as long as I'm here. Because I play by the rules, and I have a California state health card from San Diego County. I called them today. They said what the Border Patrol did by taking my gram, harassing me, and keeping me there, and threatening me to take my pot. He said he'd take it every single time a Border Patrol catches me.
Okay. And since they're federal Border Patrol, they could care less about your medical marijuana recommendation.
They do not recognize federal and state cooperative laws. They do not recognize that when they raise their hand to work for the state of California, they are under California state law, too, and can be prosecuted if they disobey state law. This is an instance of disobeying state law. They had no reason. I had a it's just dial a number or a website, and it's a yes or no. And they're not supposed to pull me over. Dog right. was in my car. I told them where it was. And before I had gone there with a joint, and they said, thank you, Mr. Lacey. You did the right thing. You told us it was the right amount. And I was on my way. And I even had, and then they asked me, what is the rules? What are the laws? What is this card here? Why is this different from this card? How many, and I'm going, you guys should know this.
No, you know, Jim, this is amazing. I'm up here in Oregon. I'm a caregiver in the state of Oregon under their program. And it's amazing how these laws get passed, but law enforcement never gets training on what the law is or what it really means or what they can and cannot do. And we have offered with Oregon Normal, we have offered to come down and put on seminars for them. We'll teach you what's in the law. We'll bring lawyers who know all about it. The lawyers who wrote it will come down and teach you. But of course, law enforcement, you know, they don't want to hear anything about that. You know, drugs are bad. You know, it's a bad thing. So they don't want to hear anything about it. With regard to these officers though, at least it sounds like you're encountering some of them who are willing to learn and who are at least, you know, compassionate enough to understand that you are, you know, an older person who's got a legal recommendation and you're not trying to violate the law. So with regard to these Border Patrol guys, do you have any suggestions? Can you tell people where they've been posted at in San Diego?
Well, I've called Duncan Hunter, who's the in charge of the Border Patrol here for the Congress.
Right, Representative Hunter from California, okay.
I left a message with him, and he's supposed to get back with me. So I think in a few days, I called maybe 17 authorities around the county and the state, so they're all going to be getting back to me in a few days, and I'll let it slide. But I did what I did bring to their attention is that they're in violation of California state law, and whether they're federal agents or not, they can be prosecuted under California state law
That's
for breaking a medical marijuana's laws of California.
Yeah, well,
in other words, I want my money back from the health department because well, I don't want my money back, but they said that what the Border Patrol did was wrong. And when I tried to educate the Border Patrol, which I'm trying to do now, they still have it in their mind because of Diane Jacob and the Republican stronghold here in San Diego. They still have it in their mind that they can just confiscate my pot and I can't drive anywhere with pot in the car.
Yeah.
Even anywhere. I mean, the sheriff will leave me alone. The highway patrol will leave me alone. San Diego, I could do anything, but I'm landlocked. I cannot go to San Diego to a dispensary or to get clones or to even have a gram or two in my car and go anywhere because in the area where I live in San Diego County, there's no way to go anywhere in the state where I don't go through a Border Patrol check. And they're taking my pot. And
we've only got two choices here. We've either got to build Scotty's transporters from Star Trek, or we got to change the law. We got to just legalize it for everyone so the law enforcement isn't forced to deal with this dichotomy and we don't get these rogue federal Border Patrol agents landlocking, you know, disabled senior citizens in their own county. It's just ridiculous. And Jim, thank you so much for bringing this story to everyone here at Normal Show Live. We really appreciate it.
Well, God bless you. And one thing that did help them understand was that it is against the law. When you work in a state where medical marijuana is legal and you raise your hand to take an oath to work in our state, you are not supposed to, you're supposed to know the rules and Obama has said this, and it's just a complete disrespect to Obama, and it's a complete disrespect to the drug czar. There's nothing ambiguous here.
Yeah.
It's clear as could be.
You're absolutely right, Jim. Thank you so much for joining us here on Normal Show Live. We appreciate everything you're doing there in San Diego.
But isn't marijuana or dope illegal?
Only for those who enjoy it. Medical use of marijuana is legal in this state.
Yeah, it's about time that the police officers and the federal government start to recognize the will of the people. Carrie brought this story up earlier in the news about how New York State's trying to pass medical marijuana, and they found 71% support among overall in New York State, and they found 55% support among registered Republicans, notoriously the group of people least likely to support marijuana law reform. This battle on medical marijuana, at least in the hearts of the minds of the American people, is over. It's been solved already. People, by and large, agree there should be medical access to marijuana. And to quote the latest Gallup polls on that, not only was there 81% support nationwide on this issue, but there was also 56% support among the people, among the 81% that support medical marijuana, 56% of them support open medical marijuana, like California's Prop 215 that allows a doctor to recommend marijuana for any ailment he or she feels that it would help, right? So they can't make this excuse that, oh yeah, lots of people support medical marijuana, but not California-style medical marijuana. Ah, it's out of control. No, people support California-style medical marijuana. 56% of the people of that 81% that support. When you do the math, that works out to about 45% nationwide for California-style medical marijuana. And among the 81% that support medical marijuana, 21%, another 21% support a system like Oregon's where there's a qualifying list of conditions, but in that qualifying list, you don't have to be terminally ill. You can just be chronically ill and still be able to get medical marijuana. So 21% for Oregon style, 56% for California style means when you work it out overall amongst all Americans, there is 65% support for medical marijuana that's at least as good as Oregon or better. So it's time for the bills in the East Coast especially to start getting better. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us this week on Normal Show Live. We'll be back next week, Monday through Friday, with more news, interviews, and everything else you need for the cannabis community. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers. We'll be right back.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hang it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you